Mandy?
Hi, Charlotte.
Oh my God, is that you? You sound so clear.
And crisp.
And professional.
Professional as fuck.
Hell yes!
Fuck.
Fuck.
Wow.
Pop.
That's nice.
It's nice. It's real nice.
We, in case you can't tell, we are super professional. We got a new audio setup in my... our Mormon house. I was going to say my bedroom. Our Mormon house that we've invited you to
of
family home evening. What did you say?
Of horrors.
Mormon house of horrors.
Yeah.
The little ceramic praying babies are covered in blood and the tears of the sinners.
Nice.
Would you care for a snack? Would you like to have a piece of fruit from this bowl? Oh, wait, not that one. It's plastic fruit.
Cheers.
Cheers. Was that a regular Mormon thing or was that just like our grandparents?
You know, I want to say that's a lot of old people. Not specifically Mormon.
I can't tell you how many fucking times I bit that goddamn plastic fruit that was on that table.
You know, my favorite thing to do was to grab one of the grapes and just chew on it like gum.
Me too.
So good.
I wonder if we chewed on the same grape. You got seconds because I was older.
Well, to be fair, the teeth marks, you couldn't put it back. Not with mine anyways. I tore that shit apart.
Like a puppy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To the last time we're drinking this garbage wine.
Mm, yeah, let's take a sip.
Tastes like broken dreams.
Mm. God damn it.
How dare you?
How dare you? So what we're drinking tonight... Actually, we can't even utter the name in public.
I just don't want people to buy more of it. But then again, what if they need to know that they shouldn't buy it?
Listen, here's the story. This wine that we're drinking has been my favorite wine for many years now. I love it. It's delicious. It tastes like pebbles from a river.
Sticks.
Leather.
Mushrooms.
Rocks. All the things that are good in a wine. If you like a Cabernet Sauvignon like we do.
To taste just like dirt.
And I love this wine, and it's expensive, but I splurge on it because it's like literally my favorite wine in the world. And my friend Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks a lot, Matthew. Sent me a text, and he's like, you know that wine you love is like the top donor in winemakers to the Trump campaign. And I was like, no, please, God, no, please, God. And I researched it, and sure enough. There's only one person or one winemaker who's donated more money. So if you're curious about which wine this is, you can check
it
out.
Number
two. You can check it out on our Instagram because I posted it there. But
it's the last time.
This
my,
is the last
my pocketbook time. Is going to be a whole lot happier because I'm frugal and I love this wine too. And I would randomly splurge on it for special occasions. And now I just need to search for a new one.
Mm-hmm. What used to taste like delicious, delicious heaven now just tastes like failure.
Bigotry.
Racism.
Mm.
Actually, sexism. Multiple failures over a long period of years.
Tastes like rape. Have I gone too far?
No. Well, you didn't say child rape, and even that wouldn't be going too far.
No.
We better move on.
Yeah, I could go off for that for about 5 hours. So what do we want to talk about today?
Yeah, well, I wanted to, we were talking about last time we needed a little bit of a, you know, sort of correction area where, you know, because what happens when you just get drunk and talk out your ass is you just say whatever you want and sometimes it's wrong. So we were like, we should have a little area where we...
But when we're wrong, we say we're wrong.
That's right.
No, when you're right, baby you're, in the corner.
When you're wrong, I'm right. Wait. Anyways, what did we decide? Repenting?
Repentance.
Yes, we're going to repent. Each week we'll repent for the things that we said wrong.
Yes.
We'll pray to our Heavenly Father for forgiveness, and He has to forgive us because that's just how it works.
That's how it works. All you have to do is say, hey, Jesus, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I say I'm wrong.
And nobody put Charlotte in a corner. the only ones I have were... I told that story about Jill and Julie and Grandma taking me to Disneyland when I was 7.
Right.
My aunts and my grandma. Actually, it turns out Julie wasn't there.
Oh.
It was just Jill.
So you're a liar.
I'm a liar, but now I'm forgiven.
Oh, perfect.
Because I told the world. Actually, I think it was Jill that texted me and she's like, Julie wasn't there. I'm the cool aunt, basically. And I was like, nice. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Perfect, and perfect.
Apparently, Grandma took me to Tijuana as well. We walked into Tijuana.
Nice.
And here I am, alive.
Well, it's not Juarez.
Tell the tale. It's true.
This is before the beheading started.
That's very true. Right? That is a fact.
Also, I do believe that you... Name of your coworker. I don't know if it's pertinent, but...
Oh, yes, yeah. I found this out today, too. My coworker that I lit on fire, we named him Steven and or Jeremy. His name was Ira.
Ah! Yeah.
Sorry, Ira. I may have forgotten your name, but I'll never forget the time...
Your burnt ass face.
I lit you on fire. And I'm sorry for that, but it was really your fault.
Perfect.
You know what I was kind of thinking about today? I was like, you know, just doing a little bit of research, trying to come up with like a good, you know, something fun to talk about. And I was like, I'm basically living my teenage pump up the volume dreams right now.
Oh my God. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Can we change the intro from an organ to Leonard Cohen?
I think that might be expensive.
Oh yeah, you're right. Can we just...
Maybe we can find something that's similar.
Okay.
Leonard Cohen backwards.
Right.
Or something that evokes that same type of feeling.
I love that movie.
We should stop calling it a podcast and start calling it a pirate radio station.
Oh my God, welcome to our pirate radio station.
Pirate radio station.
Everybody knows. Okay, I can't.
Yeah, we could sing it. I don't think we'd get sued for that.
Yeah, but I don't have that Leonard Cohen voice.
Everybody knows. Wow, these mics are cool.
Perfect.
Anyway, so pirate radio, that's our new thing.
Yes.
We're pirate radio DJs. We're going to change the system. We're going to shake up the system. We're going to have people follow their dreams. And we're going to save all those kids who are getting kicked out of school for no reason, just so that the high school can keep them on the payroll and get that federal assistance. We're going to get that principal fired.
Is that what that was happening in that
yes.
movie?
Like, pretty much.
We watched two very separate movies. I was like, something about the FCC.
Yeah, and remember that part? Remember Seth Green was in it? And he's the one who put the cassette tape up in the,
yes,
in the thing so that it went
right
out to the high
Seth
school?
Seth Green was in some very bit roles in the 80s. He was also the little brother in, it wasn't Can't Buy Me Love. It was...
Can't Hardly Wait?
Not Can't Hardly Wait. That's
that was a good one.
That's a movie with him, and he's great. No, this one was, the guy we're convinced is Tom's adopted dad. Eric Stoltz, yeah. Eric Stoltz, and then the chick with the short hair, she's a drummer.
Oh my God. Yeah, Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yes, and then...
It's called... Oh, sweet Jesus. I bet everyone is just yelling it right now, saying... It's a little thing. Pearl.
I keep thinking Can't Buy Me Love.
No, that's not it. We'll come back to it.
Okay. Well, anyways, Seth Green was the little brother in that one. And I'm like, God, Seth Green was a little baby. That's a funny dude. Love me some Robot Chicken.
Yeah, he's fucking
got a
hilarious.
Podcast somewhere. We should listen to that one, too.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful. That's what it was.
That's what it's called. Got to be careful of the slapping because our mics just pick up everything now.
But yeah, anyways, our friend Tom in Utah, he was adopted, him and his sister, and he looks just like Eric
Stoltz.
Yeah. And apparently Eric Stoltz put a kid up for adoption when he, you know, started hitting the big time and his girlfriend got pregnant. So they put up, I'm just saying.
You're friends with Eric Stoltz's. bastard child? Do we say bastard?
Yeah, I guess. Bastard child. It's fine. Right. It's fine. Anywho.
Yeah, I bet you Seth Green does have a podcast and we should find it.
Yeah.
I've been, as you know, because, you know, you live across the hall from me and I talk to you every 5 minutes. I've been on the interwebs researching some other podcasts. I found a couple of really cool ones.
Nice.
I'm going to just give them a little shout out because I've been kind of following them and listening to their style and trying to get, you know, like an
So we can format.
Well, it's not really ripping them off, but normally what we do is we just get fucking wasted, yeah. And then we just start telling stories and don't ever finish them, cut each other off, dance around in circles.
And there's never any closure.
So if we at least have like a basic outline of something we have to follow, then maybe we'll remember to come back. Probably won't happen.
Well, yeah, we can only give it a shot,
you know?
Dear Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Jesus.
Help us finish.
Please bless this one. Please bless this mic. So that it may nourish and strengthen our listeners' ear holes.
Sounds good. Cheers.
So, yes, podcasts. Here's some shout outs for some podcasts that I've been listening to, which are great. Dax Shepard has one called Armchair Expert, which is fucking fantastic.
That one's awesome.
Mm-hmm. We just listened to the first two episodes of Smartless.
Oh my God, it was so good.
With Will Arnett.
God, I just want his voice to be my voice.
Yes, the master of
ASMR. I know I'm a chick and all, but if I could just have, I could have Will Arnett's voice, that'd be great.
Yeah, he's really blessed with the pipes.
He really is.
Yeah, Will Arnett and Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes do that one. And their first two guests, well, actually, coincidentally, Dax Shepard was their first guest and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right. So Melissa McCarthy's their next one.
Oh yeah, they're already on a fucking roll.
They're hit number 7 on podcasts, having one episode out.
Those fucking bastards,
those bitches. Well, good for them. I'm not bitter.
Yeah, we're not jealous.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I have it on my list of things to listen to. Is Ken Jeong and Joel McHale.
Ooh, I bet that's a good one.
So those two guys are super funny.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. Chris Hardwick has a couple of podcasts too, and I listened to a couple episodes of the ID10T, which is pretty funny. Ron Perlman was on it.
Ooh.
So he's fucking great.
I like that too.
And so we've been like listening back through some of our recordings already and being really self-conscious about the ums and the likes and the, you know, whatever.
Just the overall shitty quality. And as much as I loved Courtney's one from last week, I get it was hard to hear her. So that's one reason we've pumped upgraded up the volume. So that you guys can hear the hilarity in our guest's voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was my point, kind of, was just that all these podcasts that we're naming, they all do that shit.
Right.
Because it's like, half of the fun of it is, you know, listening to the natural inflections in your voice. And I'm sorry, but that's just how I fucking talk. And I'm going to keep saying, and you're going to have to hear it.
And again, maybe it's because you live down the hall for me. I don't hear the ums, but I'm also used to hearing you speak.
Fair enough.
All right. Wait, one
last podcast I want to plug. Getting Curious with my hero and yours, Jonathan Van Ness.
I love him.
Isn't he the fucking best?
I love watching him feed his cats on Instagram every
his
morning.
Yoga. So good. And he's been doing backflips lately, and
I've
he's doing really
good backflips. It's real nice.
Yeah. I haven't gotten any celebrity engagement from him, but I've gotten a lot of other celebrity engagement. Like, we're practically famous now. I think I told you. Chris Hardwick.
They liked
my comment. And Chris Hardwick commented back with an emoji, so I mean, one foot in the door in Hollywood now.
Yep.
Okay. Dax Shepard liked something I wrote from the Bad Mormons account. Oh, and Matt Skiba and I practically had a conversation.
You guys are engaged. It's
so
fine.
That's pretty cool what he's doing. Have I told you about his like separate account that he's running on Instagram? So it's called Sinorama, and it's like, of course, sin, like sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like midnight showings. Midnight quarantine showings of rad movies, and he's only done two so far. He's done Repo Man, which is a fucking terrible great movie.
Right.
It's all about the soundtrack on that one. And what was the last one he did? River's Edge. River's Edge is Dennis Hopper.
Okay.
And Crispin Glover.
Okay.
And basically they're all a bunch of other people too in their high school classmates.
I just
and
remember being a weird fucking movie.
Super fucking weird, yeah. And one of the guys kills his girlfriend. And then they all go see the body.
So it's the grown-up version of Stand By Me?
Yeah, but it's like fucked up. It's like Blue Velvet kind of fucked up.
See, I haven't seen Blue Velvet either.
Oh my God.
I don't know why. I don't like David Lynch films. I've only tried to watch Eraserhead, and that was painful.
Well, Eraserhead's not the first David Lynch movie you should pick.
I mean, I like the TV show, the
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks. I like that.
That's a nice little starter.
Right. And then I haven't watched Blue Velvet, but I've heard things. I haven't watched Wild at Heart either, but I've also heard things like that it's good. And then what's the, it's not Valley Girl. Oh no, Wild at Heart is the one with
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage is in a bunch of David Lynch movies.
Laura Dern, too, right?
Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
They're like a little troop.
We'll have to have a David Lynch-a-thon.
Well, I mean, my friend Matt Skiba told me that he
Matt
was going to be doing Blue Velvet on one of the Cinerama screenings, so
so I'll just wait for that.
We should jump into that, yeah.
So, technically, are you just, like, pushing play the same time Matt Skiba is?
No, he's actually just recording it on, like, the IGTV, and you're watching it on your phone. But the novelty is, I guess, that you're watching it with Matt Skiba.
But he's not, like, commenting or anything, because I hate when people talk during movies.
I don't know. I haven't actually watched it in real time with him yet.
Okay.
Well, I should just message him and see if we can go over there.
I'm sure it'll go over well.
Oh, this pirate radio thing's so fun.
It sure is. So have you thought about the stories you're going to tell this week?
I have. I actually had a nice little thing planned out, and I think I might change my mind right in the middle of it.
Hey, I mean, you know what?
Because I just got some messages from my dear friend Tammy, who we've spoke about. She's
great.
She's podcast famous. She's pirate radio famous now.
She's the one Mandy knew in
high school.
In high school, and then they both went up to Bellingham.
Yeah, and we toilet papered a house with shit
right,
toilet when, paper.
When they lived with the polygamists.
At the same polygamist house. Yes, that's my friend
I was
Tammy.
There too, so when we lived with the polygamists, I just don't remember it.
But she was just messaging me on Instagram or Facebook, and she was like, listening to the episode that we had just done with Courtney, and she's like, oh my god, that house, like so many memories with that house. And she goes, she's like, yeah, the party that we were at, that was our friends Gabe and Greg. They moved into that house. And I was like, holy shit, that's right, I forgot. It was like actually our friends that moved in there. Even after they knew what it was like when we lived there, they still moved in there.
Rent must have been cheap.
Uh-huh. And our friend Barney decided he wanted to climb up onto the roof. And that's how the sewer pipe became disattached from the house. So it was actually like...
From him getting on the roof?
From him climbing, shimmying up it to get onto the roof.
Well, why isn't it inside the house anyways?
I don't know. It's Lakeway Realty.
Right.
That's
okay,
why.
There you go.
But that actually probably should have been in the repentance section, but whatever.
Well, you're repenting now, so...
But then she's like, do you remember the time? She's like, so those guys were just visiting us when we lived there, and we had this thing going back in the day. It was like BMG and Columbia House would send you 12 free CD. Well, we started out doing records, and then you'd get, they, you know, changed the medium over to CDs. And so they would send you 12 free CDs, and all you had to do is promise to buy one at some incredibly marked up price over the course of like, I don't know, 3 months or 6 months or something like that. And they would send them to absolutely anyone we found out. Like, I did it legit. That was my very first records I got were, like, BMG records. I got, like, a Madonna record and a Motley Crue Dr. Feelgood record. God, I wish I had those to this day. And I actually ended up paying quite a bit of money because I... You know, the time had elapsed, and that's kind of right. How they get you or whatever. Like, if you don't buy it within that certain period of time.
Do you have to give them, like, a credit card or?
Nope.
Because I would say just a promise to pay.
Exactly. So, like I said, I did it legit when I was, like, I don't know, young, 13, 14, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so when I was an adult living at that house with Tammy and Courtney, we and a bunch of our friends would do this. We would just make up fake names and, you know, send them in, and they would send us the 12 CDs or whatever. And the names just got more and more ludicrous as time went on because they just kept sending them. They just kept sending them. They
same address. Them.
Same address. Multiple. Like, I sent one in as Amanda Reznor, obviously the wife of Trent, myself. We sent in one that was, the name was Mr. Bear's Water Bottle. I think that was Tammy's. We sent one in that was actually Mr. Free CDs. And they actually sent them. They kept sending them.
And it's not like an automated thing, because this is before all the machines took over.
Yeah. This was 93. Would have been a little later than that. 94, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, 94.
Mr. Free CD.
But then she also reminded me, she was like, because we were just, you know, little asshole kids or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, we had all this furniture that we wanted to get rid of because we were moving out or something. And so we just, like, threw the furniture in the blackberry bushes. And, you know, we had this, oh, and our friends were, so these boys were rowdy, and they took our garbage and they, like, spread it around the neighborhood. There was, like, a food bank there or something. And they, like, were just being drunk assholes and, like, throwing shit around. Anyways, our mail was in that trash, and people had complained or whatever. The cops showed up at our house the next day, and they were like, we were like, oh, fuck, because we'd fucked up or whatever.
Right.
Throwing our garbage in the,
right,
our furniture in the bushes, and our garbage is spread everywhere all over the neighborhood. And they're very serious, and they come up to the door, and they're like, you know, knock, knock, knock. And we're like, fuck, hungover, probably, like, all right, sleeping in the living room. And we're peering out, you know, and they know we're in there, so I open the door, and they're like, do you guys know anything about this? And they've got this, you know, half-ripped bag of trash and a bunch of envelopes with mailing addresses on them.
Right.
And I was just like, no, I don't know anything about that. And they're like, does an Amanda Reznor live here? I did not remember this story at all until Tammy texted me earlier. But I apparently said, oh, no, she moved already. She moved out. They were like, oh, okay. And then they left. But we were totally, for like a minute, thought we were going to go to jail for like mail fraud or CD fraud or some kind of, like, they had sent us hundreds of CDs for free. I really hope there's some sort of statute of limitations on that.
Mandy, you owe so much
because
money.
That is some sort of fraud for sure.
But actually, is it fraud though?
I mean, feel like I paid that in the beginning when I had to pay like $150 for one CD.
Right.
So we're fucking even, BMG.
Well, I had another story, too, but your story makes me think of another story.
Do it. Tell it.
So,
this is pirate radio. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Fucking rebels and shit. When we lived in Mission Viejo, we had these friends, Shannon. I can't remember the younger sister's name. Or maybe that was Shannon. Anyways, neighbors down the street. So my best friend, Heather, is probably one of the worst influences on me that I've ever had. I love you. You're great. I haven't talked to you in years, but you were fun. But she's the one who taught me how to curse. She's the one who showed me my first porno magazine that she stole from her dad. Like, she was trouble. Mm-hmm. But we had other friends that lived down the street, and let's just say it's Shannon and Nicole, whatever. We would go, Christy and Shannon, that was their names. So we go down and we would toilet paper their house weekly. Like, I don't know why. We didn't hate them or anything. They used to be my friends and, you know, they were fine, but like, it was an easy house. And their dad was a janitor, and it got to the point where we would actually steal toilet paper from their garage to toilet paper their house with it. We'd egg the house. I mean, it just progressively got worse. Like, they knew it was us. They had to have known it was us. But anyways, we would get the toothpaste and put cotton balls on the garage door, and that toothpaste just never goes away.
Doesn't that fuck up paint really bad too?
Yeah, sure does. So like, there was a house that wasn't their house, another house we did it to, that it just, you saw those white spots on it until they repainted it.
Ooh,
I think we super glued porno to their driveway. Like, we did.
You're an asshole, Charlotte.
I didn't do it. It was me. But it was Heather's idea. And, yeah, it was bad. I think we've admitted all these things to them, too, like, finally. And they're just like, you guys are fucking dicks. And I'm like, how'd you not know it was us? Clearly it was us. We used to go underneath their window, like, late at night, because we'd sneak out and be like, Christy. You know, just be like, I'm watching you. I'm watching you from the bushes. Or and I remember her dad came out with a flashlight, and we were up because, you know, across the street are those hills, right, with all the bushes and the grass. We'd hide up there and we'd watch him come out. We'd laugh and laugh. We thought it was so fucking funny. But one time we made friends with somebody that was a little bit further down the street named Mona, and we spent the night, and we had toilet papering their house, but then somebody had the brilliant idea of throwing trash all over the lawn. Her dad had it, and just pound, pound, pound on the door. Do you guys toilet paper our house? I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, your trash is all over our lawn. It's like, oh, someone must have stolen our trash. I feel bad. The only, like, I feel toilet paper from someone's house, I don't really feel that bad. We went to excess a lot with them, but it was just like, how much further could we push it? And then, and again, they were nothing but sweet people. Like, we were just fucking assholes. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad. I don't feel bad about toilet paper random houses. I feel bad because we consistently did their house over and over just again. Just kept
fucking with them.
Right. And they, I'm a goddamn bully.
You know what? You should see if they still live there and go bring them a cake. Be like, I'm sorry I toilet papered your house when I was, how old were you?
God, I was probably like 10. Like 10 or 11, right?
Here's a 12-pack of Costco muffins.
No, we befriended them again. It was actually kind of sad. Their mom died in a car accident. Oh, like, shit. Yeah, and it's like, I think the mom and dad got divorced, and then she was dating somebody new, and like, the car accident, and like, one of the girls' necks were broken, but they were upside down and suspended, and that was the only thing that saved them, but like, everybody else in the car, I think it died. It's fucking horrible.
God damn.
Horrible story. But, which probably makes me feel even fucking worse. Mm-hmm. For essentially bullying them.
Yeah, Costco muffins can't make up for that.
No, it really can't.
Wow.
I'm a monster. Yeah. Tell a fun story. I'm going to drink this wine and repent.
Speaking of toilet paper, were you with the girls when the cops brought you guys home?
Yes.
to my bedroom. So our old house that we grew up in, our very first house, there was an apartment, the basement apartment, which at some point the renters had moved out and that had become my room. That's when I really like made it as a human being. I had my own room.
Had New Kids on the Block poster on the wall, I remember.
Oh my God. I had, it was like the room it now, but instead of Alkaline Trio and Green Day. And
it was New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, it was every single poster was New Kids on the Block.
So good.
I have a problem.
Yeah, you might have a problem.
I have a picture of that too. I'll post it on the needs.
Well, because Mormons, they stock up for the apocalypse. We had shit ton of toilet paper downstairs, mm-hmm. and we decided we wanted to go toilet papering.
But is this your story or my story?
Okay. Well, I'm the one who did it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I'll tell the story up until we get home, then you take it over.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I want to say it was me, Heather, and Laurie. Does that sound right?
Tiffany.
Was it my okay? It would have been.
It was
Tiffany.
Logan.
But Heather came to. Oh, she didn't visit till Dad lived. Moved up.
No, it was all three of my sisters.
Yeah. Okay. So it was Tiffany, myself, and Laurie, and we wanted a toilet paper house, but we couldn't decide which house to do. So we ended up like toilet papering like a stop sign. I think I like tied like a bow around it or something. We just let random pieces of toilet paper take off in the wind. And anytime a car would come, we'd drop down, hide underneath cars. Like we were playing spies essentially too. Mm-hmm. Like we were being overly dramatic and funny.
Flashlight. What was the name of that game?
Flashlight's a good game. Stop. I know what you're talking about. Flashlight, yeah. You have to stop, right?
Yeah.
We weren't doing that, but we were like, we would all sing that kind of while we were going around in the dark. And then if a car would come, we'd roll underneath the car. So we were just being overly spy-ish. And then finally, the one time we decided not to do it, it was a cop. Mm. What are you girls doing? Nothing. Is that toilet paper? Maybe.
That's a poop.
I was bringing it to my friend. 12:30 at night. So we had to get in the back of the car. So I have been in the back of a cop car. Mm. That question was just asked today. I was like, well, I've sat in the back, but I didn't get driven in one, so it doesn't count. But actually, I have. And then he took us up to our house, and I saw Mandy's lights were on and had the brilliant idea of, like, my mom lives down there, and then you came out.
Well, there was a knock on the door.
Oh, right. Well, because I had told him, I was like, oh, my mom lives down there. So he brought us down to the basement because you have to go down this, like, narrow steps or whatever.
Yeah. So I was going to describe the room. So it was basically, yeah, it was an apartment, like a totally separate apartment underneath of our house that actually had renters. It had its own kitchen, its own bathroom, and, yeah, its own entryway outside down a narrow cement stairs or whatever, down to like underground. So right. It was like when you were laying in bed, I don't think I've ever lived anywhere else that has basements like that. But it's like, you know, the window is, there's only like the top quarter of the window shows.
Right, they dig daylight down and have like a metal
well.
So that the light can get into it.
Right. Anyways, so long story short, words are hard. I'm in a basement.
There's new kids on the block everywhere.
There's new kids on the block everywhere. I'm finally a teenager. I'm independent. I actually had new kids on the block pillowcase and sheets as well as a full-size door poster of Joey? No, Donnie. Donnie Wahlberg.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Donnie
Wahlberg.
I thought
Wahlberg. It was Joey, but...
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg on the back of my door. Anyways, moving
Luckily,
on.
Luckily, the police officers didn't come in.
So there's
like, this is your mother.
So it's dark outside. It's, you know, whatever. It's middle of the night. They knock on the door, and I go, and I see my three sisters in front of me. They're all wearing their fucking pajamas and robes, if I remember correctly. Like, just
I
obvious.
I like to think we were all in black, but.
No, you're in fucking pajamas. Little frilly, lacy, pinky pajamas.
No, I meant all in black because we were playing spies.
I know, I get it. Sorry, that's not my memory. And
I choose to remember it differently. Go on.
The cop looks at me and I see you three first, and then I look up and I see the cop and I was like, oh, fuck. And then the cop says, do these belong to you? And I was like, you little bitches. Brilliant. I was like, yes. And I was like,
what are you doing?
It's the middle of the night. Get in here, you know.
Work in the morning.
Yeah, and I really tried to play it off. I was not going to let this opportunity pass us by. They'd done all the groundwork. All I had to do was bring it on home.
And he did. Walking away.
Yeah, he was walking away. You guys had come inside. He was already up the steps, walking down the driveway. And Terry, our stepmom, comes out of the house. What's going on here?
None of your fucking business. Go back in the goddamn house.
We almost got away with that. It's still a good story. It's not quite as good of a story if we hadn't gotten busted at the end.
It's true. And I was going home the next day after. So not that next day, but it was like a day or two after that. Like it was the end of my like vacation with Dad. So like I remember going to sleep. Oh, your father will hear about this in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because again, Dad worked night, so he wasn't even home yet. And so I go to sleep, and then I wake up to him at my bed, and he's just like, oh, Charlotte, I think we need to have a talk. And he tried telling me something that I had to do some community service or some shit. I said, well, Dad, I got to go home tomorrow, so I don't know how that's going to work. And he's like, oh, he realized that like it wasn't going to work. And I think he also wanted to ground me, and I just say, I'm leaving tomorrow, so if you want to ground the last day that I have with you, that's up to you. And again, like, 11, 10, yeah. Like,
and a master manipulator
apparently
already.
Like I wasn't having it. I was like, well, I mean, you could ground me, but I don't really see the point.
I'll just go to my mom's.
Yeah, I did actually pull that card quite a bit, like, I'm going to my mom's.
Monster
mom's like, I'm gonna go live with Dad.
Good time.
That was good.
That was a good story. Man, I'm imagining where you guys were at with the toilet paper, like out on 4th North and 3rd East.
Oh, totally. We were over by the Gillum Waters.
Oh, so you were on 3rd North.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I think our plan was we were going to go up by the church.
Mm-hmm.
If we kept going up the street. But yeah, we should we do the Gillum Waters house? Should we do... so? But we couldn't decide on what to toilet paper, so we just started toilet papering I think we also tied like a bow around like the rearview mirror or the side mirror of a car. Like it was really stupid.
Wait, are we allowed to say last names if we don't say first names?
That's what I was going with. I was like, well, shit. Like, and I didn't know which one of the first names I would have used.
Perfect. They were our neighbors.
Just neighbors.
There's no denying that.
Right. Well, shit. Now I'm like, can we say last names?
We can.
I think so.
We totally can.
But yeah, that was fun.
Did you ever, speaking of that little neighborhood, did you ever, there was the AVA building at the top of the hill, and then the church was the next block?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what that was. Somebody said, like, ballerinas would, like, that big red building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the AVA building, they would do, like, Holly Fair in there, and it's like Christmas, you know, like a farmer's market, basically.
Oh, I had
Christmas crafts
no idea.
And stuff.
I only came to visit in the summertime, so maybe they didn't do anything in the summer, because I could have sworn I don't know anything. I thought it was always vacant, it seemed like, when I was there.
Yeah, it was like a community center. They would have shows there and stuff when I was a teenager.
I just remember they had some, like, elderberry bushes there. Mm-hmm. And we'd pick the shit out of it. We tried making an elderberry pie once. It was not delicious.
We used to break into that building all the time.
Did I?
No, me and the neighbor girls, Julie okay. and Chrissy.
Oh, right.
I won't say their last name since I said their first name. But anybody knows.
Let's try and
knows.
Stick to first names. I feel weird about the
other one. I'm good.
Okay.
But yeah, we used to like...
tree wine, sorry.
We used to, leave, you know, prop the door open, just same as we did at the church.
Right.
Prop the door open and just fucking play around in there because they lived actually right next door to it.
Oh, okay.
So we would just like walk, you know, walk. Maybe it wasn't right next door, but it was like a couple houses away. And so we would just walk right over there. And that was they had the phones and everything were there. And like it was, I don't know why I would think that the phones would be shut off at night. But so we learned at a young age to dial 9 to get out on the phone. And then we would call like phone sex numbers. It was like you would just basically dial 1-900 and then eat shit, or you would just try to make up words, you know, that was like a 3-letter and a 4-letter, or basically a total of 7 letters to try to make up a word. And I'm going to say 99 times out of 100, it was some kind of phone sex line.
Excellent.
But that was the big thing back then, was like 1-900 numbers, and it would charge you like, I don't know, $3 for the first minute and $75 each additional minute or some shit like that. Like psychic network and, you know.
Perfect.
All that kind of shit. So I cannot imagine the motherfucking phone bill that those people had for us. Like breaking in there and just running amok. We didn't like damage anything or, you know, like vandalize anything. We just like had a cool midnight hangout.
Right.
But no, we did charge the fuck out of that phone.
Like going into the church. We didn't steal anything. Well, except for maybe Cool Whip. Like, but like, we didn't, you know.
I do remember that, raiding the fridge in there.
I was like, what do they have to eat? Cool Whip. All right. Or Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip.
That was at the boiler room, right? You would prop open the boiler room door.
We just did the back door. Like, I'm surprised no one ever, like, sometimes they'd catch it, be like, they caught it this week or whatever. But sometimes no one would catch it. It'd be like, okay, this happened like 3 weeks. Like, how are you not checking the back door? Like, just a pine cone. Throwing a pine cone in there.
Yeah, and all the neighborhood kids broke in there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
I thought it was special.
So all the boys in our neighborhood, like the, you know, the kids across the street, the kids around the corner, like, we would all go in there and we would, like, be in the gym at night with, you know, basketball, like, at the basketball courts down there. And we would get on the stage and do fake performances. Like, you know, I don't know how, I just think about how much I cherish my sleep right now. And I'm like, how did I have time to, like, do all this shit in the middle of the night when I was supposed to be sleeping.
Because breaking out of the house was fun. And again, Utah, I don't know, like, I live in California, the weather here is not bad, but like, Utah's something a little different. When it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you get that cool breeze, but it's so hot, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's the most fun. One, you're not allowed to be out, so it's fun. Mm-hmm. Like, going to the cemetery was so much fun. Actually, we never actually went in. We just, we'd go to the cemetery and be like, you go in. No, you go in.
That was a major cemetery hanger outer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'd hang out in the cemetery during the day. I remember we didn't know. Maybe grandma Couch or aunt. There's a Couch family member. Last name's Couch. It's the only reason I remember it is because the last name is Couch.
Okay.
Sure. I want to say it was like grandma's sister or some shit. Anyways, we're like, oh, let's go see that. That's the only person we know who's dead, like, or whatever. But I remember finding this little...
Are you talking about Aunt Norma?
Maybe. Her last name was Couch, though. Norma Couch.
Maybe. I don't remember her last name.
It was Couch, because who has a last name Couch?
She smoked so many cigarettes. And she would give us a loaf of bread.
That tasted like cigarettes.
It would taste like cigarette smoke. We would have to throw it away. Yeah, Aunt Norma. Maybe her name was Couch.
I'd almost put money on it.
We can say her last name because she's dead.
She's dead, yeah. But yeah, I found this little, like, broken tombstone that I decided to put back together, and his name was Adolphus Scott. And I was like, oh, what a cool name, Adolphus, and I ended up getting a snake, and I named him Adolphus, and then I realized that Adolphus is short for Adolf. And I was like, oh.
Wait, Adolphus is short for Adolf?
Adolphus is short for Adolf.
Wait, what is it long for?
You know what? This bigoted, this racist wine is...
Give me that wine.
It's going straight to my head.
Give it to me. I want to taste failure for the last time.
It also made my speech failed.
This is what a fake university tastes like. You know what else I remember about being at the church? We had, breaking into the church. We actually, me and the neighborhood, those same neighborhood girls, Julie and Chrissy, we had, and I think Casey was probably in on this too. We hatched a really grand scheme to be able to watch rated R movies inside the church. Like, that was the most devious thing we could think of to do. What can we do that's just, you know, Jesus would fucking hate? We're gonna somehow get our hands on a rated R movie. I know. Whoa.
You should have gotten The Exorcist.
Well, we got Hellraiser.
Hey, that's, but you know what? You did good, kid.
We did good, yeah. And that's actually, I don't know if you've seen it lately. It's kind of like up. Kinky, like.
Yeah. No, I was going to say. Kind of remember a little bit of like, oh.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's not just your regular slasher film. There's a lot of like weird kinky sex stuff in there. Some
bondage shit in there.
Anyways, I don't know. I don't remember how we got a hold of the movie because, you know, you had to go rent movies at a whatever.
People didn't really own movies so much.
You just had like, you know, dubbed. Or at least we did. We had like dubbed VHS tapes. Yeah, you get
two VCRs. You play one and you record it onto a blank tape with the other one.
And somehow you're always missing the first 5 to 15 minutes of the movie.
No, we had it, at least in California. Like, I don't know, dads were pretty good too. Like, he had Temple of Doom and Pee Wee Herman. But it was always the same movies. So every year I'd come to visit, I'd be like, time to watch these movies again. Mm-hmm.
Well, Karate Kid was missing the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And Real Genius was definitely missing the whole beginning. No, that's right,
because we just watched Real Genius, and I was like, I don't recall any of this. He's like, yeah, because you always watched it at Dad's house.
Yeah, it started out right in the when he's taking notes from the... He's
like, I'll give you a little bit of advice. Could have sworn that was the beginning of the movie.
Nope. That's because we recorded it off HBO. And it wasn't even our HBO. It was like Dad's friend had HBO, so he would record the movies for us. So anyways, the point of the story is I don't know where I got my hands on a copy of Hellraiser at that young of an age. But so... We actually had to think of a way. So it was easy to prop the boiler room door open and get in the building. Like, that was no problem. Nobody ever checked that. But to get the old AV set up, so it was like the AV cart with the VCR and the TV on the top, you know, and it had the strap on it so that it wouldn't fall. But that stuff was locked in the library. And so we actually had a two-person team go in there. And one of us, it was me actually, distracted the library attendant or whatever while Chrissy went in. So it was two rooms. It was like the indoor and then the outdoor, and then there was like kind of a counter there in the middle. So I was distracting the lady at the indoor. Chrissy snuck in the outdoor and wheeled the motherfucker out of the library and then put it into the classroom right next door. And then we went to whatever meeting it was, sacrament meeting or church school or whatever, and then after that was over, we took the thing that we had taken from the library. So at this point, the library is closed. We took it down to the primary room, down to the basement, which was right by the boiler room. And we stashed it in there and we put a blanket over it or something like that. And so when we finally, so then we waited, you know, and snuck out of the house after midnight or whatever. We ordered a pizza and had it delivered to the church middle of the night. We were so cool.
Begging for trouble.
And watched Hellraiser in the primary room.
Now, I want to know, what did you do with it afterwards? Because you couldn't put it back. The library's locked.
You know, I don't think I cataloged. Did you just leave it down there? I don't think I cataloged that. Yeah, we must have left it. Actually, we did leave it down there because, we couldn't put it back because the library's locked. Otherwise, we could have gotten it back out. I think they probably just assumed that they had used it down there for something.
In the boiler room?
No, not in the boiler room, in the primary. Oh, in the little kid, the nursery.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I remember. That's the only room I ever really went to because that's when I went to church, was that room.
Right. Right. Anyways, that was one of my favorite breaking into the church stories.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I only did it like a couple times and there was nothing to do. I was like, this is boring. I mean, when the initial like excitement of breaking into the church was over, then I'm like, well, I'm bored now.
Might as well be getting my beauty sleep.
Well, we didn't do it late at night. We'd do it during the day. We'd just wait till the last people left.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'd be like, going in. And then
which is like at 3.
Right, exactly. Well, we were in there one time, and then that was when we're like, oh, sweet, cool lip, or whatever, and we were just messing around, and someone came back, and we had to, like it was like Jurassic Park, and we had to, like...
I remember eating the Cool Whip.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And anyways.
Like, so we'd always check the fridge to see if there was food.
Right.
And there never was, and this time there was. And yeah, we were like,
oh, sweet. That's probably why they were back. We're like, oh, forgot that Cool Whip. Better go back and get it.
Why are there finger marks dug into our Cool Whip? This was for our raspberry pretzel salad.
Yeah, I don't know how we didn't get busted. I actually think we did. Like, Dad, like, I don't think we got, like, we thought we got away with it, and then later Dad was like, were you girls in the church today? I'm like, no. Oh, yeah.
I actually did get busted way fucking later than that because I had taken an exit sign. I don't know fucking why. I have no idea. I went through a phase where I stole a lot of shit, actually. A lot of shit. I probably shouldn't admit to how much shit that I've stolen, but that's why I'm so good at catching shoplifters today. I know all the tricks, and I tell them to anyone who will listen to me. That'll be for a different podcast. But yeah, I took an exit sign out of the ceiling, and it was those kind that are, they have like a radioactive half-life or whatever, so they just glow, you know, naturally for like, I don't know, 100 years or something. Right. And I think I thought that was cool or whatever, so I took it and I put it in my closet face down and buried it under like a bunch of clothes. And I guess there was like a little residue from the drywall that had fallen down, because I was like, no one's even gonna no one's even gonna notice that it's missing.
Right.
Why would you notice, you know, an exit sign missing or whatever? But apparently, like, there was a little crumble of drywall on the stairs there, and Terry claims that she saw it glowing out of my closet.
Whatever.
I don't believe that's true. I think she was going through my shit and found it, which, you know, I shouldn't have stolen it in the first place, right? But... that's the, out of all of those times when we were kids breaking in there, that's the time I actually got busted for it. And I can't remember what happened with that. I'm sure I had to give it back and, I don't
probably
know.
Probably apologize.
Be in a play or something. Do some community service.
Had to go do some more baptism for the dead.
I had to pretend I was a missionary and knock on the doors of the classroom and teach the children how to, you know, do that whole situation.
I was like, is there just a fine I could pay?
Can you put this on my credit card? Right. Thank you. I'm going to be at the bar.
That's good times.
Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Yes.
Hold on. Let me see where we're at. I think we have time for a ghost story.
It's not a mini-sode.
It's definitely not a mini-sode. So this was actually also the result of me texting with Tammy earlier. Oh. This is a really good story, and it fucking freaks my shit out to this day.
Go on.
So this didn't happen to me directly, but it happened to my very best friend at the time directly. And so I feel like it's a very legitimate source. It's not one of those like, oh, I heard from a friend who heard from a friend who heard from a friend. Like, she told me this, like, and she was at the time, you know, pale white, like freaking out. She couldn't even stay at her apartment. She had to go down the hall and stay at her friend's apartment after this happened. So she's like... So the way that the apartment's set up is it's kind of a studio apartment. So she's got a loft bed, and then there's a little tiny kitchenette right there in the main room. And then there's a bathroom behind that. Right. And each of these units in this, she's living in the grocery building in Bellingham right next to Boundary Bay.
Okay, yeah.
Cameron was living there too at the time.
Okay.
So those units are mirrored on each. So basically, like, if you're, you know, here's the wall, your bedroom is on this side, the unit next to you, the bedroom's on the other side, you know, so it's basically just like opening a book, and it's a mirror of your apartment on the other side of the wall, right? So she's like, she's starting to, you know, when you get to that point of sleep where you're like, you're not quite asleep yet, but you're right, really close to sleeping, and that's when your mind gets into that funky right space, and you're more like adept to see things
shit
and feel things and whatever. So she's at that point, she's almost falling asleep. And all of a sudden, she hears the toilet flushing. Look at me. I'm getting goosebumps just telling this fucking story. Oh, my God. So she hears the toilet flushing in her bathroom. And she's like, that's weird, you know, and falling asleep, not really paying attention to it. She lives alone. Yeah, studio, tiny studio. And the flushing gets louder and louder and louder and louder to the point where it's registering in her consciousness, and it wakes her up, and she sits up, and she doesn't hear anything anymore. She's like, okay, that's fucking weird. You know, and tries to go back to sleep. It happens again. And then I don't know if it was that night, that same night or the next night, but this happened over a series of a couple of nights. And so the next thing that happened was, you know, that same sort of state, you know, trying to fall asleep, almost falling asleep. And then she hears the radio in the bathroom on the back of the toilet getting louder and louder and louder and louder until she sits up and she doesn't hear anything. She gets out of bed, like gets down, goes and checks that not the bathroom is, you know, silent. The radio's not on. She unplugs the radio, goes back to bed. Same fucking thing happens again. Yeah. Right. And she's just like, what the fuck? And then.
But she's not going back to the state of almost being asleep again.
Yeah. Okay. So then she's like, so then, you know, everything's fine. She's like awake. She doesn't find anything. So then she tries to go back to sleep. And when she almost gets back to sleep again, it happens again. Mm. You know, so she can't sleep. And then finally, the last straw was so she's in that state again and she feels just a jolt, like a hand grabs her leg and jerks her down the bed and she wakes up like somebody's pulling her foot down. And she's on a loft, so she's up very high. You have to crawl up a ladder to get to her bed. And she feels somebody jerking her. And that's the point where she's like, fuck this. Like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And her friend lived in a few doors down or a different floor or something. So she went and stayed with her. So fucking turns out what happens is we were, a bunch of us were at the bar, Rumors down the right next to Boundary Bay or whatever. And, you know, she's telling us this story about what's happening to her. And our friend Cameron's there too. And he lives in the building too. And all of a sudden, they have this realization. They're like, I think something's wrong. And they go back to her apartment, and the paramedics are bringing down a body bag. And her next-door neighbor had died in the bathroom right next to her apartment and was basically like, so after all that stuff was happening, like the energy from that or whatever was basically just trying to get her attention, like
so she could go so somebody would
find the body and whatever, right? Totally fucking freaky. And she's like, you know, and there was a stench, of course, because the guy had been there for several days. You know, nobody found him. And yeah, she was like, I couldn't stop cleaning my apartment and doing the laundry, like trying to get rid of the smell. But like, and then of course, once the body was found and you know they took the guy away, everything stopped and went back to normal. Yeah.
Oh, that's freaky.
Isn't that crazy? That's the scariest ghost story I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think some people are, like, susceptible to that sort of thing, and I'm not, which I'm thankful for, because, like, our house in Kite Hill, I feel like that, you know, Laurie always, we would play with Ouija boards quite often, and of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, someone was always pushing it. I mean, come on. But, like, we would do things like, we're like, oh, is there a ghost here? And I'm like, yes. Or whatever. It's like, what's your name? And I remember one time it was Satan. Like, we only got to S-A-T-A. Oh, run away! Yeah. And of course, we'd freak each other out, even though we knew we were full of shit. And somebody was always, because we'd wait, and be like, okay, is no one going to put, okay, fine, I'll push it. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Laurie would talk about how she'd see this little girl in a white dress. And I'm like, fucking cliche. Like, whatever, Laurie. But then mom randomly had this friend over that she must have met at church or whatever. And she comes in. She's like, you know, your house is haunted. You're like, you have a presence here. And my mom's like, really? And I was like, yeah, a little girl, white dress. And I'm like, all right, fine. But I never. Because, yeah, it was like, because we'd be down in the bedroom downstairs. So that big bedroom. And then there's that big window, right? And Laurie'd be like, a little girl ran across the thing. I'm like, But yeah, anyway, so that was a thing. And I remember living in Bellingham and I was on my Forest Street apartment. And so I was living alone. And I don't know, I just never really spent a whole lot of time there because the Beaver was just down the street. So I'd go there all the time. But I remember I was watching Celebrity Ghost Stories or whatever on A&E. And I remember thinking to myself, like, you know, I wish I could see ghosts. Like, this is kind of bullshit. And then all of a sudden, I just got this cold, like, rigid feeling and, like, goosebumps and not a good pleasant feeling, and I just said, never mind, just kidding, and it went away. And I was like, I don't want any business with that. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I could have been psychosomatic, it could have been in my head, I don't know, but I prefer not to deal with any of that shit.
I've seen some shit.
Yeah,
we can talk about it on another episode. Okay. But I've seen some shit.
It's a long story.
There's a lot of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe it deserves its own.
And I feel like I need to write them down and remember a little bit more, but there's definitely a few times where I've been like, this is fucked up.
Mm.
Yeah. But nothing gives me the goosebumps that like telling that Tammy's story gives me.
Yeah, because that's a scary fucking story. Yeah. Wait, that was Tammy that happened to?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, didn't I say that at the beginning?
You may have. Oh. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, that was Tammy.
shit.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, you know.
I think we should change up one thing about our pirate radio station.
Okay.
I think we should end each episode with basically something good and something nice and something that we can do to make the world a slightly tiny bit better of a place, because
it's a real shithole right now.
It is a real fucking shithole. And I'm on social media more than I even used to be, just, you know, promoting the podcast and, you know, doing right. all this stuff. And I'm on Twitter now. And I, like, all the shit that I'm seeing on Twitter is just people being horrible monsters to retail workers right. and people who can't fight back or say anything back. You know, I saw the video of the fucking Burger King kid getting slapped by this guy who looks like a Marine, like this D&D nerdy Burger King manager, like basically just getting slapped across the face by this dude who's big and tough, right. you know, whatever. And some dude at Costco berating the cashier, "You fucking cunt, bag up the groceries, you hag," you know, right. and other customers are filming this behavior.
I just read today that this guy, to a child, like a maybe 12-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid, said, "Take off your mask." And he's like, "No," when he was by himself. The kid was by himself. The mom was like in the bathroom or something. And he's like, "I'll shake my hand." He's like, "No." And so he grabs the kid's arm, pulls down his mask and spits on him and says, "Now you have coronavirus." And so the cops came and he got assault. But like, and he's like, "Well, I don't really have coronavirus. I haven't been tested. I don't know." You know, it's like, yeah, you're a fucking grown man and you do that to a fucking child. Like, fuck
shit.
You.
And
that's the second time I heard somebody else do that, pull down somebody else's mask and cough on them. For what reason? Because they were doing their job? Like,
right.
don't be a garbage person.
I could fucking tell you stories every single day at work of the shit that people do to me when I tell them to put their mask on or whatever. Or, I mean, I got fucking punched, you know,
for right.
that guy punched me at work. Second time I gotten punched at work.
Right.
Anyways, so it's really fucking depressing, and the world is a shitty place. Politics suck. You've got the fucking big orange crybaby Cheeto dementia man who's just creating fucking divide and making it okay to be a racist. And anyways, right. shit's horrible. Shit's fucked up. There's only how many more days? 90-something more days till this maybe could start to heal and, you know, change and be over with.
Hopefully. Or we'll just go down a rabbit hole of more garbage.
Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. Right. But the point is that we can, you know, however small and slight, we can make decisions and we can do a little something every day to, like, make it a little bit better and make it a little bit more pleasant. And I think we should just try to, like, come up with at least a couple of things at the end to be like, hey, here's a thing we can do
right.
to make it a little less shitty. So a couple of things that I thought of were obviously, you know, be nice to people, be nice to retail workers, be extra nice to them, because there's a lot of people out there, especially right now, who are being real fucking shitty to them. And I can attest to that, you know, firsthand. I see that shit every single day. So the people that are overly nice really make a huge difference in balancing out the fucking assholes.
That's awesome.
You know, so that's one thing I would say. And I think the other thing I would say is just, you know, remember that every single action that you take, you're setting an example for somebody, and you may not even know it. You probably don't know it. You know, you're not, like, we all get in fights with people on the internet. Well, at least you and I do, you know, we're like trying to change people's minds. And, you know, we've got fucking racist relatives and we try to engage and we just fight and it's horrible and whatever. But I think just, you know, acting in a way that's with integrity and with kindness and with caring about other people is setting an example for somebody who's watching you. And that's in and of itself going to make a positive difference. So right. I'm going to try to consciously do that at least, you know, once every day.
Yeah. I feel like start a quarantine, I kind of realized that arguing with people doesn't do anything and no one's going to change their mind. No one's going to change my mind. You can't say one word to me that's going to make me think that Trump is a decent human being.
Fair
because
enough.
Actions speak louder than words and none of his actions seem to be saying that. But I'm done arguing with people and I've just started unfriending people, which I know was like, oh, you don't unfriend people over politics? It's like, it's not politics anymore. Now it's morals.
Totally.
And so I was just like, I'm no longer feeding into the machine of arguing with people. Like, I can think of a few people that I know that live in San Juan that are friendly, and I do nothing but argue with them. online, and I'm not doing that anymore. I've unfollowed them so they don't show up in my feed. I asked maybe that they'll do the same thing. You know who you are if you're listening.
I did that too. I had to unfollow a few people that I really like. Yeah, it's like,
because again, you just want them to be like, how do you not see that what you're saying is fucked up and wrong? But there's nothing you can say that's going to make them do that. So there's no point arguing with them, even if you're right or you're wrong or you think you're right. You know they're wrong. Mm-hmm. Just why even bother?
Yeah, it feels bad. It doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. And then I realized, too, that half of the shit I say, you know, not that I'm never going to run for office, and it really can't hurt me anyways. I mean, God knows shit that I tell you guys. You're welcome. But it can be used against you later if it needed to be for whatever reason, and that's not smart either. So I'm done arguing with people.
And robots. You know, a lot of those accounts are bots.
Well, I know a lot of these people personally. Oh. So I don't actually get in a whole lot of arguments with people I don't know, which makes it a little hard. but yeah, it's just, there's no point.
Yeah. So I'm excited to like spend a little less time focusing on negative shit because I have been focusing on it so much since this whole pandemic started and since I woke up in Australia and Trump was president. It's been a nightmare since then. So yeah. I'm going to consciously focus on being more positive and making positive changes. Yeah, and we can talk about it and then end our pirate radio show with feeling a little bit good tip and having servers. A goal. Yeah, tip your servers. Tip them more than 20%.
Because you know what? They're working at half capacity. They're not making the tips that they're used to. And frankly, you know,
they're risking their health.
They're risking their health so that you can go laugh with your friends. And make sure you take care of them.
Totally.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Goodbye. To the last goodbye, time the last we'll drink wine. Jordan wine. I said it.
Jordan, you goddamn son of a bitch.
Cheers. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for drinking with us. We love you.